Hey guys, John Henry Spann here with Honest to God. Thank you so much for listening. If you enjoy the show and you're interested in being a part of it, we would love to have you. If you want to be on Honest to God, then text YA to 844-617-1292. That's YA to 844-617-1292.
This is producer Ben, and on this episode of Honest to God, we flip the coin over from last week and shift our focus to Catholic motherhood. Whether it's wrangling kids at Mass or trying their best to be good role models in front of their kids, being a Catholic mom is a real challenge. But our panelists have a few tricks to make it a little bit easier. And trust me, they've got plenty of kids to prove it. Thanks for listening and enjoy the show.
Right, ladies and gentlemen, super pumped to be here. Thanks for watching. Thanks for listening. This is Honest to God on AM 1160 The Quest, Atlanta's Catholic Radio. We are rocking and rolling today live from sunny Guam, which is where we are today. That is right. U.S. territory, Guam. Oh, we deserve it. That's right. All that anti-colonialism sentiment going out there, but not here. Not here at Honest to God. We're hanging out exclusively in one of the last holdout colonies of the United States, Guam. Can you call it a colony anymore? Is that a thing? Can you call it a colony?
What do you call people who are from Guam? Are they Guamish?
Did you just make that up?
Yes.
Did you just come up with that? Well, that was really good.
Well, I think Julian and I were talking about Guam the other night because he's been to Guam. And I think to be funny, one of us said Guamish, but then it made me start thinking if that's actually what they're called.
That's really, really funny,
I don't know if it's Guamish.
I don't know.
I'm going to go with Guam. I like Guamish.
I like Guamish too.
What's coming to my mind is I think it's Chamoan.
But Samoan's like an ethnicity.
That does not sound like Guam.
Not a nationality, right? No, Samoan's like an ethnicity, isn't it? It's like Polynesians.
But I think
like
they're who colonized.
The Samoans?
But
who did they colonize? Like the trees? There was nobody in Guam until the Polynesians got there, all right?
I'm not sure.
And Samoans are all right, we're going to find out next episode, because next episode we actually have, this is super exciting, Dwayne The Rock Johnson is going to be on here next episode of Honest to God.
Did he sponsor this episode?
No. Okay. No, that's ridiculous. We're going to get to our sponsor here a little bit. But no, we are going to have Dwayne The Rock Johnson next episode. I think we got Jeff. Do we have Jeff finally coming on? Jeff Goldblum?
He canceled. Again.
Always.
I'm sorry, John Henry.
All right, guys. So as much as I would love to dig into this for the next hour or so, we do have to get the ball rolling. We got two great guests. One who is a veteran, right? The beautiful bride of our very own producer, Julian. We got Rachel over here today. And we got Jane.
Hello.
It's going to be great. Just two guys hanging out. Would one of you guys mind starting us in prayer before we start on today's topic?
Jane.
I can't. I'm the newbie again.
You do it, Rachel. You can kill it.
Oh,
come on. I believe in you. Try hard and believe in yourself. You can do anything. Saw that on TV.
But we can't say bad words. So.
Especially not during prayer. Yeah.
Okay. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Dear Lord, thank you for bringing us here today. It's always a treat to be with friends and family, and especially John Henry. Please help this episode go flawlessly so that Jane and I can say everything that is on our hearts that we feel should be shared with everyone. And please help all the people who are taking care of our children while we film this episode, and help us have a great time. In your name we pray, amen.
Amen. Father, Son, Holy Spirit. That was a solid prayer.
I'm going to be a good prayer. What's my grade?
92.5.
Oh, last time it was a 93. Yeah.
Oh.
Comment down below.
I
what
went
you think
down by
is
half
be.
No. Actually, wait. Because you get the girl bonus, too. I'm going to say that was it without the girl bonus. I'm going to bump it up to 97.
There's a girl bonus?
Cool. Yeah, girls get 5-point bonus, some fairs.
Okay.
Yeah. It seems kind of demeaning and infantilizing. That's not how I mean it. But I'm in too deep now, and I just can't back out.
As long as we understand each other.
Yeah. No, I'm super excited about today. We're going to be talking about motherhood.
Yeah.
I'm super excited. Fun fact, we're going to do your fun facts. I got a mom. Her name's Judy. She's living in America's Georgia, and I'm a big fan. I saw her last weekend.
Oh, nice.
You're a big fan of Judy.
Huge fan.
Okay. John Henry, I think this is a great episode for us to talk about motherhood. You and I are mother experts. We have watched our wives become mothers. We could tell them how to be mothers. We could tell these wonderful women how
to
be mothers.
I'm going to one-up you.
I would love to hear that.
My wife couldn't have even been a mom without me. Well, okay. I guess she could have. But you know what I mean? Like, I am the reason that she's a mom, which is super cool. So
you're very humble.
I feel like at the end of the day, this episode really is all about me.
It's all about you. We're here for you.
Are you today's sponsor?
Sure. Yeah. We've never done that before. Yeah. This is episode number 768 of Honest to God, and I'm yet to sponsor an episode. So today, yes, this episode is brought to you by John Henry Span. At the end of the day, it really is all about me.
I think at some point we should reach out to Angie and just see what she has to say about her not being able to be a mom without you and how that makes her feel.
Oh, okay. I wish she could be here, actually. I'm kind of upset.
Yeah, me too.
She's out doing a Lenten small group thing with some friends of ours from church with all my kids. So she's missing it.
I'm sure she'd have a lot to say about what you just said.
She might. She's the best thing that ever happened to me. I'm serious. I'm a big fan. Let's get started with some fun facts. You just owe us one, Rachel. And then you owe us three.
I owe you three fun facts?
Yeah.
Do I just have to come up with them off the cuff?
Yeah. You didn't show prep. You didn't have it. When our people contacted your people, they didn't go through the this whole process.
I mean, I filled out a big.
We have a huge team here at Honest to God that I'm really
hundreds
surprised.
And hundreds yeah, of people.
None yeah. of our. You didn't have somebody reach out to you and handle that.
I mean,
yeah. Three fun facts. Now, because it's your first time on the air, they ought to be about you.
Okay.
Right. Generally, once you've been on here 47 times or whatever, we say it can be about like just random fun facts.
Okay.
But and you got time to think about it because Rachel's about to give us her fun fact.
Yeah, because I forgot about the fun fact.
All right, I'm ready. Do you have one?
No.
Do you want to come up with one real quick? Tell us something about yourself. It can be mother related. It can be about the number of kids you have. It can be about...
I've already shared a lot of stuff about my kids for my fun fact, though.
What you think? Favorite? Give a funny childhood memory. It can be something about your husband that he wouldn't want on air. It can be literally anything.
Oh, boy.
A funny childhood memory. I guess it's not that funny, but when I was like 8, one time I climbed a tree and fell and hit multiple branches on the way down landed and didn't die.
That's nice. The branches are probably like, seriously, like that probably helps a little bit physics-wise.
Yeah, it didn't help me feel
You can't
better,
build
but...
speed, yeah.
Oh, did and you break I... any bones?
No, I
laid
there for a long time.
I bet your mother appreciated that.
Whoa. That's a really good segue, Jane, but we're not ready for the segue yet. And so I needed you to hold that off till the end. And if you had gone to Harvard School for segues like I have, then you would know. Yeah.
Do you have a written degree for that?
I do. Yeah.
I love
it. We're eventually going to get a picture of him on a segue framed, and we're going to have it.
That's beautiful.
Yeah.
That's a really good idea, actually.
She's got a lot of them.
You have a lot.
We need it. Does anybody have a good segue hookup? Like, could we? Does anybody know someone?
Have you ever
I'll make
segue?
Some calls.
Yeah, one time.
I know a guy that drives a truck that carries Segways. And sometimes
really?
They fall off.
Ayo.
It's a joke. We don't advocate the theft on Honest to God.
That's right. Yeah.
Comment down below what your opinion is about theft.
Your opinion on theft. Yeah, please share that down below.
Gosh.
I like that a lot. All right, this guy. I fell out of a cottonwood tree when I was a kid and landed on my head, and it was a thing. Yeah, that was fun. I walked it off. My friends made fun of me.
My mom didn't appreciate that.
My mom did not. My mom never knew. I don't
know.
This might be the
now
first
she
time.
Does.
It was in my granddad's backyard. I was hanging out with my buddy Patrick. Yeah. All right, we got three fun facts.
Three fun facts. Okay. I'm left-handed.
I didn't know that. I'm left-handed.
Nice.
That's cool. Watch. I'll do left-handed stuff right now.
Yeah, right.
Isn't that neat? Yeah, I really am. That's cool.
Okay. Let's see. I have 5 kids.
Okay, cool.
On earth, 1 in heaven.
It's a fun fact, yeah.
And the first 3 of our children we had before we were married for 2 years. So I had 3 children in 13 months.
Yeah, that's cool.
And it was insanity.
2 of them were twins.
Yes, so we had twins before our first.
I'm not trying to minimize. I just want people to know that the math actually does check out.
I'm
not a liar. Yeah.
That's like way beyond the fun fact. That's like a superpower.
That's an pretty cool. It was intense. But yeah, so we got married and April of 2013, we had our twins in February of 2014. And then in March of 2015, we had our third son.
So, nice. So 4 boys, 1 girl.
We have 4 boys, 1 girl.
Heck yeah. You're the exact opposite of me. That's how I remember it. I'm 1 boy, 4 girls.
Yeah.
And you're just boys for days.
I have no girls. And
I never thought I would have one. And here we are. She's 3 and she's insane.
Aww.
But
that's so great.
Another fun fact. My favorite color is blaze orange. And it's not actually hunting related. I've just always loved fluorescent orange.
Okay, cool. I like that. It's a good color.
Random.
Like I get asked, because I have children now, I get asked all these questions that you answer a lot as kids about, like, what's your favorite color? What's your favorite animal? Things that you forget about.
I have no idea what my favorite animal is right now, and my sons will not let it go. And I'm like,
Just come up with an animal. We should do that.
But they keep like, that's not really your favorite animal. They're questioning me. So
my problem with the favorite animal question, when somebody asks me something like that, I can only think of like four animals that exist. I'm like monkeys, lions, dogs, and birds. Mm-hmm. And it's like, birds aren't technically, like, I don't care. All right. Like it's all I can come up with. But my son asks me that question all the time and all my answers are lame, but they're real. Mm-hmm. Right. Favorite color is like, I don't know, maybe blue. I like blue. I like, I think dogs are neat. I think they're cool. I like the way rhinoceroses look too, because they got a thing on their face.
They are really cool.
We should just do this the entire episode. Let's just talk about our favorite random things that children ask us about.
Then we don't have to use our brains.
That's a good episode.
That would be really good. We should do Honest to God with just like 6 year olds.
That would be really funny, where we just have these kind of discussions. That would be really funny because kids give the most unfiltered answers.
Yeah. So we're doing motherhood today. I think the topic, let me see, the topic officially is motherhood is messy. Young moms with young kids share their journey. But before we got started, you guys mentioned, and I would love to start there. Do you want to start with pregnancy? Like, is that what, I don't even know how we get into that, but I have it on good authority that in order to be a mother, it helps significantly if at some point you're pregnant.
It helps.
Yeah. So what is, I don't know, how do we even... Like broach, that's a big thing. You both, how old were you guys when you had your first kids?
22.
I was 24.
Okay. And what was the, I mean, what was your, either pregnancy, infancy, wherever you want to go, right? What was sort of the biggest surprise? What was the biggest, this is not how I expected. Why didn't my mom mention this to me? Like that kind of thing.
Well, with Caleb, my oldest, he had colic. Mm-hmm. At a month old, and my mom had 9 kids. So I kind of assumed any question or concern that I had, mm-hmm. my mom would for sure have the answer.
Right.
And she had no idea what was wrong with him because he kept pulling his little knees up to his chest because he was trying to get gas out and it wouldn't come out. And I didn't know what was wrong with him. He would just scream like he was in pain, and my mom didn't know. And Julian actually Googled it and was like, I think he has colic. And then my mom was like, no, he doesn't have colic. Colic is where you cough all the time.
Colic's just when you cry a whole lot and you don't stop.
You scream in pain because you can't get gas out as a baby. So it's about a month old is about the normal time for babies to get colic. And he was like exactly a month old. And I had no idea he was my first baby. And I was like, well, I have like the baby expert right here, but she didn't know. So colic was something my mom never dealt with any of her 9 children. But my first child gets colic.
I've never dealt with that with a kid. What do you do?
We had to buy like specific, I think they're called gas drops, but they're just over the counter. But I had to give him little gas drops, and then you kind of just have to constantly keep him in motion so he can like work the gas out.
Right.
But I mean, I'd be out in public and all of a sudden he would start screaming. And, you know, I was 22 with a tiny baby, and like, I was like, I look like I'm 16 and I'm here with a baby and people are just going to think I'm a bad mom because he was screaming his head off and I'm trying to bounce him. And yeah, that was fun.
The public perception part is so, like, I feel like not enough people talk about that, because I'm not going to sit here and like pretend like we're all martyrs for having big families or whatever. But the idea, I mean, how you feel at Mass today, I was so proud of my baby. I've got Georgia's 6 months old now, something like that. And she's really good. She's really well behaved in Mass, right? The only time we really struggle with her is when it's time to put her to bed and she's not quite on a good sleep routine yet. Uh-huh. But and then your baby starts screaming, and immediately, like me, this is my 5th kid. I've been a dad for 12 years or something, right? I get all of a sudden all this vanity of everyone's going to think I'm a bad parent. Everyone's judging me. And I feel like some people are probably like that, but 90% of people, they're like, nobody thinks that. Everybody's like, oh, you got a baby. Cool.
Especially the parents, because they know. Mm-hmm. Like, I love it when I see parents with a screaming child, because I'm like, oh, I feel you. You know, mm-hmm. I've been there many times.
I love it. Here's my hot take. I love it when there's a baby screaming in Mass. I really do. It is the future of the church is secure. Mm-hmm. I dig it. We need lots of babies screaming. And no cry rooms. Don't go to cry rooms. Stand. You can stand in the back if you have to. Uh-huh. We all need to hear it. It's great. Ooh, what is that, Julian? What's that noise?
We are having some wonderful tech issues right now. We only have one camera working at the moment, which is the two lovely moms that we have.
So nobody can even see?
Nobody can see John Henry?
They could until a moment ago. Everything's working. Oh my God.
He already unbuckled his belt.
I'm getting comfortable then. Let me know if I get back on here. Otherwise.
Now the mom's camera just went off.
Oh. Now we're, is it totally black now? Pitch black?
Nope. Now the overview camera works.
All right.
Yeah. Hey, good news though. I counted a total of 6 ladybugs in the studio today. Yeah.
Only 6?
Which is fewer than normal.
You should see my attic. Anyway, yeah. I wanted to talk on the public perception. I think especially as a mom and especially as a new mom, mm-hmm. there's just, you put so much pressure on yourself mm-hmm. and then you assume that everyone's judging you. So like right. no matter what is happening, and that honestly, so if I ever hear a crying baby at mass or I'm in the gathering space with another mom and she's looking like, oh, I can't handle this. I'm just like, I always try to be like, you're doing great. Your kids did great. This mm-hmm. is okay. Mm-hmm. You're going to be okay. Like that's one of the biggest things. I think like for me, what I wanted to try to express like on this podcast was like, so many young mothers especially just feel like they're just doing everything wrong. Mm-hmm. I mean, older mother, I'm not an old mother, but even you're at seasoned. This point in my journey, like I still feel like I'm doing so much wrong. So right. I think it's really important as mothers and as just people to just encourage each other because it's so hard being a mom out there.
Y'all today. Have no idea. If you're listening and you don't have kids, you have no idea what a relief it is to have somebody come up to you and say, you have a beautiful family
yes,
or whatever.
It's
especially
so nice.
When you're at that restaurant or you're at mass or you're out in public and one of your kids is being awful or all your kids are being awful
yeah.
and there's noise and there's food on the floor and all those things. And just having the sweet old lady come by and go, your family is so beautiful. I remember
yes.
those days. It really does. It
yes.
makes everything better.
Oh, the old ladies are so good at
yeah.
that.
Yeah.
So sometimes sweet. They get emotional and have tears in their eyes even. Like, yeah, it feels really good.
We had that happen at mass today, actually. After
yeah,
our
good.
Baby screamed, after mass, the old lady in front of us turned around and said, you have such a beautiful family.
That's so nice. It's so needed, too. Like,
right?
for our hearts, so needed mm-hmm. just to have that encouragement.
So I kind of want to stay on this vein, right? I want to keep going down this path. About sort of young mothers, and I'm gonna count us all as we are having this conversation before the show started. We count as young parents,
okay.
so I've decided.
Okay.
Because my oldest is 11, your oldest is 12,
mm-hmm.
your oldest is
the oldest are 10.
Are 10.
10
okay, cool.
Twins.
No, that we still totally count. We haven't raised teenagers.
We haven't. We don't have teenagers yet. Oh,
yeah.
I can't wait for the
but can we just dig into that? Because I love what you said. What I want young mothers to hear or whatever. I really do, kind of. I would love for this episode to be kind of encouraging, right, to those people who are in the trenches, because I know my wife and I, Angie and I, early on, we had a great family support, we had great friend support, all these things, but it's still isolating and scary, and you feel like, I'm going to forget X, Y, or Z, and my kid's going to grow up to be a serial killer or something,
mm-hmm.
right? I'm going to totally botch this young human being that I'm supposed to form.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, other thoughts for young mothers, or going back, if you want to talk about pregnancy things when you're 20 years old with a baby out in public for the first time or about to have a baby pregnant in public for the first time. Advice, stuff you wish you had known. What are we thinking?
I don't know. I was just going to say, I have no idea. Like everything is brand new. It feels like every day almost.
I mean, something that I've gotten flack for, and, you know, I'm obviously not a mom, but I'm a father, is I say over and over again, especially as my son gets older, right? I've got all of our oldest are boys. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Cool. I've started to realize embrace this idea that there's only so much that I can do in regards to protecting my child's physical safety, right? There's only so much that I should be doing anyway. My son, like your sons, I'm sure, is constantly in this sort of desperate quest to severely injure himself, like
mm-hmm.
all the time, every day. And I have sort of let off that gas pedal a whole lot because I don't want my son to be this coddled, you know, little guy. I concern myself way less with physical well-being and way more with spiritual well-being. At the end of the day, mm-hmm. if my son embarrasses me in public, or if my son breaks his arm, or if my son gets in a fist fight at school, that's all stuff that I can handle. We can do that. That's okay. Those are normal boy things, right? My 2-year-old screams in the middle of a restaurant. Okay, right? My 2-year-old punches a kid in the face on the playground. Happened last year. He wasn't 2. He was like 9. So 2 years ago, I guess. But those things concern me a whole lot less than his moral formation, right? I don't know. I've just sort of come to embrace that. Anything like that for you guys? Anything you sort of come to realize?
I mean, I think that we definitely focus a lot more on protecting their innocence than, I mean, obviously we're good parents and we protect their physical mm-hmm. safety, but we have really tried to protect a lot of the degree of innocence that they mm-hmm. still have and that they'll carry into teenage years and into adulthood, because I know for probably our generation, we're all around the same age. Like, we weren't actively protected from that. Like, at least in my experience, like people just didn't talk about it, or they didn't assume that you were being exposed to all of these things. And so
many conversations about stranger danger, not talking to strangers while there's a computer with unlimited access to pornography in the other.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Computers and all of that. And so, like, that has become a struggle, like, as our kids get older. And we decided to send our older boys into public school this year, which was a huge decision, which we can talk on that. We decided to stop homeschooling because I had to make the, like, we had to make the decision of, like, what's best for our family. And that was a really, honestly, a really humbling thing, too, because I think as a Catholic, and especially as a Catholic mother, I'm going to go off on a tangent.
Go for it.
But you get into this mindset that, like, you have to do all the things, all the Catholic things, have a big family, breastfeed, homeschool, like, all the different things. And if you don't do one of those things, then you're just a bad mom, or you're a bad Catholic, or you judge yourself really intensely. And this year, this last fall, we decided to send our boys to public school. We're in a tiny town.
Fourth grade, fifth grade?
So the twins are in third grade.
Third grade, okay.
Benedict is in second.
Gotcha.
And we're at this tiny public school in Adairsville, Georgia, and it's been such a beautiful experience for our family.
Like, that's really good to hear.
It's nice.
Right?
Like, and it was surprising. It was surprising for us because I don't know about anybody else, but you get into your head, like, what it's going to be like in the public school system, or, like, especially in the culture that we live in, and, like, what are your kids going to be exposed to? Mm-hmm. Like, when we went in there, we sat down with the principal and the vice principal, and we pretty much laid out, like, I asked the uncomfortable questions, like, how do you handle these different things in your school?
Like what? I would love to hear what the uncomfortable questions are.
I specifically asked, like, how are you handling the transgender issue? What are you talking about for gay marriage? Like, I came in, like, how are you handling?
Good for you. Yeah.
Like, everything, you know, and just because we need to be aware that they're going to be exposed to things, mm-hmm. but also as their parents, I really feel that we get to decide at what pace. And, like, how? And I think that's really important because, especially in a more public sphere, that is being taken from us as parents.
What is that? What is it?
We don't get to decide how our kids are exposed to different things, like how they're exposed to just different parts of the world that maybe age-wise is not appropriate for them to know about yet. Mm-hmm. So, like, we get to decide how to introduce them to those topics, you know? And
I mean, It's John Paul II, I think, who talks about who really hits it over and over again about how parents are the primary educators of their kids, and that is a fact by nature of you being a parent, right? If you are not educating your kids, if you're not advocating for your kids, if you're not doing those things you ought to be doing for your kids, it doesn't mean that the teacher in the classroom is now the primary educator. It means they have a really bad primary educator, and so they're going to learn about all sorts of things incorrectly from other places. And I totally agree with what you're saying. I saw that in a big way, and I think a lot of the country saw that in a big way during the whole COVID thing, where all of a sudden parents were realizing, because the kids were being homeschooled, it was all on the screens and whatever, they're realizing, oh my goodness, there's so much of this that is antithetical to what I care about as a parent. And it was sort of a wool from the eyes moment. And I think that's sort of unfortunately, a direction that our culture and maybe Western civilization in general is going in, right? This idea of, No, your kid's not yours. The kid is ours, right? It's the state's. You're this cog in this greater machine. We know what's better than you do in regards to how to raise your child. And that's so broken and backwards.
And it's intimidating too, because it's like, as a parent, you have this deep knowledge. Like, I know, or I hope, I know what's best for my kid. Mm-hmm. I'm trusting in God and I'm going to do what's best for my kid. And then when everything around you and the world is telling you, you don't know what's best for your kid, I do. Like, you have to fight that much harder for them.
Right.
So. Mm-hmm.
To our dear listeners, now, we probably have some that are not moms, but if you are listening and you are able to interact on the YouTube, comment down below what issues you think are important to talk about. I don't care if it's been mentioned. If you think gay marriage is important, write gay marriage in the comment. If you think transgender is important, write transgender in the comment right now. And if you're listening on the radio, subscribe to the YouTube and add a comment to this video.
Thanks, Producer Julian. Producer Julian's really good at giving the pitch, and he's really handsome too. I don't know if you've met him, Rachel.
I haven't.
The guest today. Yeah,
I would like to.
You guys should hang out.
We should.
You should like.
We could do a blind date.
I don't know. Have a bunch of his kids or something. Just throwing that out there.
Have a bunch. Yeah.
If you're just now joining us, Producer Julian is married to Rachel. I am not hitting on our panelists for the sake of the producer. Just so we're. All
vicariously through.
Yeah, I'm a great wingman. Yeah,
you are. Did a really good job there.
No, that's that. I totally agree, though. In regards to sort of, it's weird that it seems controversial is not the right word, but out of the ordinary to say you know your kid better than other people know your kid, right? Mm-hmm. And I feel like we're just sort of in this weird. I don't know, sort of segment of our existence of the, where we are time wise, right? In this era where the, not only the innocence of our kids, right? Talking about the way all these things that we've mentioned before are being taught to our very young kids and in a lot of schools, unfortunately, but also who's in charge of those kids to begin with. I feel like that's all being questioned in a way that's really, really gross. What about you, Rachel? Any other thoughts before we go to break?
About like issues as a mom?
Yeah, or young mother advice you didn't get that you wish you had?
Well, I don't know if it's advice that I wish that I could have had because I don't really, it wasn't something I ever thought about, but I have noticed just recently, I mean, obviously I have boys, so I have a lot of issues with them fighting physically constantly, like pretty much 75% of the drive up here.
That's fair. Yeah.
And that's normal. Mm-hmm. But I just recently thought about it because I grew up with 8 siblings. I'm one of 9. And we fought constantly. Like, usually it was like whoever was just above you or just below you.
Right.
It was just like there was just some.
My oldest son and my oldest daughter.
You constantly had at, you know, any given time. But if anyone ever was mean to us outside of our family, like a neighbor or a friend, like we were like instantly quick to run to the defense of our sibling.
Nobody and that beats was up my sister, but me.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And that was how all of us were. That was very normal. Like we could literally have been calling each other names and then somebody comes in and calls my sister or my brother a name and I would have turned in a second and gotten really mad. So I just thought that was normal of siblings. And I've observed that in a lot of siblings that I know as well.
Right.
But I've noticed that my older son, Caleb, doesn't really get protective of Logan, the next one down. And there's an age gap between them because they're 12 and 7. So I don't know if it's because of the age gap.
Right.
But I've noticed, and I just said something to Julian about it the other day. I'm like, I don't know how I never noticed this before, but Caleb doesn't get protective of Logan.
Right.
Because we're having an issue with one of the boys in Logan's co-op right now. And he, I mean, they call each other friends, but he's just a little aggressive for my taste.
Yeah.
And, you know, if he gets mad, he throws punches. So I specifically asked Caleb the last time that they were playing together because Caleb was there as well. Like, please watch out for your brother to make sure that, you know, a fight doesn't break out. And from a distance, I could still see, but I observed exactly what I was afraid would happen. A fight broke out between Logan and his friend, and Caleb didn't do a thing. He just kind of stood there.
Right.
And then I had also told him, like, if your brother's on the floor, like, you know, because he got hurt, whether someone hurt him or he just tripped, like, help him up. So I watched Caleb slowly walk up to him and kind of like start yanking on his arm instead of, you know, bending down and nicely helping him up. And that, like, you know, that's, I'm a very emotional person and that just like hurt my mom heart watching his injured brother getting tugged on.
So I want to dig into that in particular here in a minute, specifically the idea of sort of that healthy tribalism that rightly ordered exists in a family. Mm-hmm. Rachel, with you talking about a situation, and I use the word tribalism, which I think I almost like that word because it's become associated with like, that's bad. Tribalism's bad. I think that's neat. And so I've sort of embraced that. Right. I think it's, What I'm referring to as tribalism and what people refer to as tribalism, they tie it up with whatever, xenophobia, ethnocentrism, whatever you want to call it. But to an extent, especially at the smallest level, right, in your family, your nuclear family, I think it's just called like a really great community of you, your wife, and your children, all the person you're sacramentally bound to, and the fruit of that sacramental bond, which is your family, and taking care of one another in that family especially with the kids, I think is the most important thing mm-hmm. in the world. You said off air a second ago, after talking about sort of Rachel and one of her boys is not necessarily like helping out. Mm-hmm. I don't think you necessarily want your son to beat the snot out of the other second grader. But I mean, it'd be nice to tone it down as opposed, you know what I mean? If that were your problem, was toning that down as opposed to saying, please do it. You said you dealt with something similar.
Yeah. I mean, we've had issues where the third one will be bullied because he's a little more energetic, we'll
say. Yeah, sure.
And his brothers tend to get irritated with him at home. Mm-hmm. And we always tell them, like, you need to love each other and be respectful of each other. You don't always have to like each other, but you have to have each other's backs.
Right.
And that's our expectation. Like, so the tribalism, I guess, like, we're trying to create this family solid backing where mm-hmm. you just know, no matter what, we always have each other's back.
Yes.
And like, that's something, unfortunately, I didn't really grow up in my family.
Right.
So like, even now as an adult, I don't have super solid relationships with my siblings.
Right.
And that's something that I see in my husband's family and I really admire. They've mm-hmm. got this solid family unit, even as adults. And I mean, they probably really didn't like each other super much as kids, but I feel like that's pretty normal. Mm-hmm. But just to know that I might not like you right now, but I know that if we're out in public or we're out in the world and I need you, you're going to be there for me. Like,
how do you impress that upon your kids? Cause I totally agree.
It's hard, honestly, yeah. because sometimes kids are very emotional.
Yes.
Kids are very emotional and we have our own emotions that we're dealing with too, mm-hmm. you know? So like for me, I think it's kind of like just encouraging them to understand, like, it doesn't matter how you might feel sometimes. It doesn't matter how you think things are going, like whether you're friends with your brother right now or mm-hmm. if you're not, or but just to know that no matter what, we have unconditional love here in our family. Like, mm-hmm. I might not like how you're treating me right now, and I might not feel respected necessarily, but I need you to know that even when you are not nice to me, I'm still gonna mm-hmm. love you. I mean, I guess like Jesus, you know, you're speaking Jesus to your kids,
right.
And that's really what it is. Like, you're just, Jesus didn't get treated well, but he always loved and he always showed love. And so that's kind of what we're trying to teach in our family. Like, you might not like your brother right now, but you have to love him and you have to treat him with respect and you have to protect him and stand up for him. And he needs to know that you've got his back.
And I feel like, and this is, you alluded to this, but I want to say this straight up, right? We were talking about this during the break. I do not always like my children. I always love my children. Mm-hmm. I don't always like my wife. She doesn't always like me, but we love each other. Love is a movement of the will. And mm-hmm. it's, I feel like that those reminders are important, right? Verbally saying that over and over again. Going back to Jesus, I think Jesus felt the exact same way, right? When you call someone a pit of vipers, right? When you're referring to a pit of vipers, probably don't like them that much, mm-hmm. right? But he loved them, right? That's human nature. We're allowed to be frustrated with one another mm-hmm. and our feelings can do X, Y, or Z, but we are not our feelings.
Yep.
That's one of my big dadisms that I'm always saying to the kids, right, is you're not your feelings. I know how upset you are right now. I know that you feel like everything is unfair and you feel angry. That's not you. You are good and you are virtuous, right? And we're going to fall back into that over and over again. Because what I think we've lost, and I think we all count as millennials here, right? Mm-hmm. But what I think we lost, not to attack all the boomers, but I'm open to that if you guys want to, is that sense of identity and culture coming primarily from home, mm-hmm. right? You as a mom, you as a dad, your first children, your child's first understanding of who they are comes from you, right? It is from our parents that we figure out who we are, what's our culture, what's our identity, what do we stand for, what does our family do, and we need that. That's not a bad thing, right? That's a really, really good thing. And I know this is motherhood and I'm monopolizing a lot of it. Sorry. I really like to talk. I'll mansplain.
You like to talk, real. John Henry?
Yeah. Surprise.
No way. Oh my gosh.
One thing that I've pitched a couple of times on this show that I think is so important is the blessing your kids thing. Mm-hmm. And that's where I do that. Where I just, they're stuck with me right before they go to bed. Takes 90 seconds, make a cross on their head. I give them a little blessing. But a lot of it is that affirmation and those reminders that I want them to hear day in and day out. And hopefully it will penetrate. And when life goes like life is going to go and they have troubles and frustrations and everything like we all do, mm-hmm. I still want those constant reminders of things like, I love you and I'm always on your team and you are not your feelings and I am yours and you are mine. You have my heart until the day I die, all that stuff. Mm-hmm. I feel like moms are usually better at that than dads are, but yeah, I don't know.
Hey, I gotta interrupt very quickly. Rachel, can you scoot your chair just slightly to your right?
Like this way?
Yeah. Like awesome. Okay. Yeah, you're good.
Good job, Rachel.
Well done. Well done. I have a comment. The camera is not on me, but that's okay. We'll roll with it. I think one of the challenges that moms really face is their own husbands, especially when we come home from work and we are struggling because our day was rough and we walk in the door and the moms probably feel like that they're about to get some relief, but...
But you lay down on your bed with your phone, and then when I say, "Honey, what are you doing?"
Oh yeah, my back's bothering me.
And we as husbands need to be better at communicating that we're having a rough day and we just need a moment.
I think it's a both and thing, right? Because I refuse. I've decided that I refuse to. My natural inclination is always to blame the guys and everything, right? Because I am a guy and I get it, right? And it is our fault. Oftentimes, yes. But I refuse to pretend like it's a one-sided thing 100%, right? I think it's a communication thing. I see that in my own household. And I think my wife is way harder on her and assumes I'm way harder on her than I am, right? And she's harder on herself than she ought to be for sure. Mm-hmm. But I think it's that communication piece, right? We were talking today before mass, we had like 10 whole minutes when we had a conversation, which is a big deal.
Without being interrupted?
Being interrupted. One of the kids was holding the baby. It was really neat. Gosh. And that's what, and we just sort of got into some of that stuff. Like, hey, it's, you know, we got these 2 weeks off. What do we need to do in that communication piece? It's really hard, which is lame.
Finding time to communicate with your spouse, especially after being a parent, being a mother, especially, mm-hmm. I feel like balancing right. is one of my biggest struggles. And I think I would like to assume in most families that that's a struggle. Like for me personally, going back to the motherhood thing, like I struggle with balancing being a wife and being a mother at mm-hmm. the same time, okay. you know, right. like trying to figure out what needs to be the priority and then like who's going to feel left out or who's going to be let down. And then I judge myself really, really harshly internally about how I handle that. I don't know about you, but, and we also struggle with when Jonathan comes home from work and what he needs mm-hmm. in his welcoming into home and what I need. And like more often than not, it kind of just doesn't turn out great.
And you guys are both stay at home, right?
Yes.
Yeah. My wife does too. And I honestly, I'm not knocking people who don't, I don't know everybody's situation. And I don't mean this to be funny. I literally don't understand how people do it with dual income houses. Right. Mm-hmm. I know a lot of people do, but I cannot imagine how anything would get done if my wife were also out all day, not around the kids, and then we both came home. But it is because what happens, right? Mom is exhausted because she's been dealing with the kids all day long, mm-hmm. right? Maybe homeschooling the kids, the baby, whatever. And then dad is exhausted because he's been at work all day long. And then they come home and both of them are thinking, finally, I can have a break yep. at the exact same time. And guess what? Nobody gets a break. That's not how...
Until they're all sleeping.
Yeah, there's not really breaks.
There's not.
Right.
And then my son, who's now... almost 11 months old, has decided that, hey, I've been a pretty good sleeper up until now, but now that's over. So nice. He's like back to newborn stage yep. almost with how often he wakes up.
What's in the water? Our 18-month-old, so our youngest is 1.5 now.
Right.
He is just all night waking up and I'm like, I'm not getting sleep. Yeah. And I feel like he's a newborn again.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And that's the hardest thing. Like it's the sleep deprivation.
Yeah, not getting sleep. You take everything so out hard. On my kids because I tried and homeschool them and like I have zero patience and it's so fun. There's a lot of yelling.
I have a woman who I work with who I love to death. She's amazing. And we have a lot of conversations about all these kinds of things on a fairly regular basis. She speaks with my wife sometimes too. And I have like, I bring stuff like this to her sometimes. And one of the best, most assuring pieces, like not really of advice, but just facts that she's ever shared with me is people look at your family and you get all this criticism from the culture and all this criticism from society and you have too many kids or you had them too young in your marriage or whatever, right? You were open to life and you shouldn't have been. Don't you know where those come from? All that gross stuff that people say. And I do want to talk about those things people say here in a minute. But she said, nobody ever realizes when they're complaining or talking about how difficult it is having children, what we need to realize, maybe, rather than no one ever realizes, is that those kids don't stay young forever. Her oldest is now 14 years old. She's a girl, and she's got kids all the way up to their 30s, mm-hmm. right, who are grown. And she said, now all of a sudden, those seven kids, everybody was making fun of me or making me feel bad or making me, you know, hurting mm-hmm. my feelings because they were misbehaving at that restaurant 20 mm-hmm. years ago. Now they're like my friends.
Mm-hmm. And I've heard so many moms say
it's
that.
It's so beautiful. They don't mm-hmm. stay young forever. And the mm-hmm. young, we're going to miss it, right? We all know mm-hmm. that stupid Trace Adkins song is in my head all the time, right?
You're going to miss this.
Yeah. And like, I get that. It doesn't really help in the moment, but are they all out now?
No, we have this one.
Okay. Okay.
Coming on and back on.
And yeah, but at the end of the day, they're going to be adults. And if you do your job, mm-hmm. they're going to be your friends. And it's going to be this beautiful, different relationship mm-hmm. that does not involve sleepless, desperately trying to form a human being correctly mm-hmm. kind
and
of situation.
Keep them alive.
Yeah.
Let's not forget about the alive yeah, part.
That part is hard.
That part is difficult. Especially for toddlers. I don't know about you, but
oh, gosh.
For me personally, yes. So we've been through all but the, you know, teenage and up phases of mm-hmm. motherhood. And for me personally, I really struggle with the toddler years the most. Now, mm-hmm. for me, I've never had just one toddler at a time. So that's probably a unique experience because right. the first round, we had three toddlers at the same time. Mm-hmm. And then we had about almost 6 year gap. And then we had our daughter who's three.
Boom, boom. Yeah.
And then we have our son who's 1.5. So we have two toddlers again. And it's just constant chaos and like, it's very overwhelming having right. more than one toddler because I feel personally for me, it's a lot easier to have a little baby, especially when they can't move around yet.
Oh my gosh.
You put them in one spot.
I always joke about how I just want to push them back down as soon as they learn how to walk. Nope, not yet.
Well, they're in one spot and you know, they're not going to go anywhere. Yeah. And you're like, okay, I'm going to leave you here safely and I can leave the room and I can go, you know, I can go to the bathroom by myself. I could go to the kitchen and get a water, right. anything I want. I can go upstairs and nobody's going to scream at me. Mm-hmm. And then you have toddlers and mm-hmm. they are just, you can't control them. You can't you can try and you do your mm-hmm. best to, and you're trying to form them well, but you have these little people who just look at you in the face and they're like, I have zero regard for what you're going to say and I'm going to do whatever the heck I want. And it's funny because it's beautiful and it's wonderful and you don't want to squash that.
Right.
But you also need to be able to like kind of, okay, let's guide that a little.
I do want to squash that.
Yeah.
My 7-year-old still does that.
I want the temperament of like a 2-year-old boy standing naked in front of the door, just like obstinately refusing to do whatever it is that you're telling him to do.
To come back in
the house.
There's
something about that I'm like, I respect the heck out of that.
So
like,
funny.
I could just like kick you and you die. I'm not going to, but you've got so much confidence and self-assuredness while you're standing there in your pull-up just like scowling at me. I think it's kind of neat.
Toddlers are such a contradiction, I feel like, because they are both incredible and wonderful and they're learning everything. And it's just like, I want to sit and talk to my 3-year-old all day. Mm-hmm. Like she's so funny and she's so smart and she's incredible. And she's going to grow up with the most overdeveloped sense of self because we're constantly telling her how awesome she is.
And she's the only girl too, right?
She's the only girl.
Come on.
But she is tough as nails and she's got a very natural like personal boundary where she'll like straight up go up to someone and be like, don't talk to me right now. And so well, you need to say, please, honey, please don't talk to me right now. Like, please back away. Like she tells right. people, get out of my space. Like she'll tell those older nice. Brothers like to back up. And it's like, I'm not going to tell her not to.
Right.
I'll tell her to be respectful and kind. But if she has these boundaries, then you need to respect that. So like, toddlers are just this wonderful, terrifying contradiction. they're really terrifying.
It blows my mind how kids raised in the exact same house, the exact same genetics, can be so radically different than one another.
Yes. Like, especially close in age.
Yes.
That's been our experience as well.
Who like their perception of reality is radically different, even though they were born just like, I don't know, less than a year apart. Or they were
minutes.
Born literally in this.
Literally yeah, minutes
they shared
apart,
a womb together.
And they're so different.
Yeah.
All look exactly
yes,
the same.
That's crazy.
I can tell them apart. I'm really proud of that.
Hey, there you go.
Yeah, I don't even need to look for the freckle
their
anymore.
Their teachers still can't fully tell.
No,
and they're
pro.
In different classes too.
Oh,
so
is that
they
okay?
can have so
no,
much
they love
fun
that.
With
they get
that.
To be. They get to be themselves.
Can, there's a lot
play so
of hijinks
drinks.
From like early 2000s comedies that they can do when they get to high school.
We've watched some Parent Trap and some different things. They love the twin thing. The twin thing is fun.
That is so cool.
We have fun with the twin thing.
So this is a conversation that comes up a lot when we're hanging out with our friends, right? Which is, when you're open to life and tend to have a lot of kids, right? Some people don't, right? But praise God, we've had not a ton, but we have 5 kids, which is great. And we get, Angie more so than I, because she's the one who's normally out and about with all 5 of them at the store or whatever. We get some pretty nasty comments. Have you guys ever gotten nasty comments from total strangers that are way too I'll start, because if you're thinking of one, I had a woman who said to me, a woman I had never met before in my life, right? Who I was there with all the kids. And she said it joking. There's always like a little giggle about it or whatever. But she said, y'all must not have a TV.
I've heard that. Yeah. Not to me, but I've heard people say it to people with more kids than me.
And it's like, I don't like to share details of my sex life with strangers, believe it or not.
No. Interesting.
Yeah, I'm not about to share them on the radio either. But I have been blown away. And that's, you know, I have 5 kids. We have friends who have 7 kids, 8 kids, 9 kids, right? It is such a bizarre thing that we live in a society mm-hmm. where people feel the need mm-hmm. to say something to you, to some woman who's out with all of her children, mm-hmm. clearly like trying to accomplish things in the world. She realizes that it's a distraction or that it can be irritating to other people, but she's doing it because she's a good mom, right? And she's open to life and all these things. So she's got all these kids and she's got them all with her. It has just always blown my mind, the fact that people think that it's their place to say something.
That they're mm-hmm. comfortable saying it too, right. out loud. It's like, I mean, mm-hmm. I can yeah. understand.
It's one thing to think it, yeah.
But to say it out loud, mm-hmm. like, okay, thank you for
what
saying
What do you
that?
Think that they're going to respond with?
Right.
Like, what are you expecting?
I think I can say this on the radio. This is the best response I've ever heard. And it was a buddy of mine, and he told me this story. It was pretty good. They said something like, don't you have a TV? Or
Don't you know how that happens?
Yeah, I've heard, don't you know how that happens? Yep. But the response was, if you like watching TV more than what we did to make those, you're doing it wrong.
Oh, that's genius.
Yeah, it was kind of intense. But yeah, it is spicy. That's a good word for it. Yeah, I don't know. We've had multiple times in restaurants and stuff too. Just the looks and the glare, and it's like we're at a freaking Applebee's, lady. Like, did you think you were just
eat
some,
your chips yeah, and mind your own business?
Just be right? quiet. My kids aren't climbing over the bar. They're
I was
not sprinting
say,
around.
You have mostly girls, so they're probably
yeah,
pretty
they're
calm.
Pretty chill. But they make noise. They you know, especially when they're toddlers, mm-hmm. right? Going back mm-hmm. to the toddler thing.
I mean, for me, especially when I had the 3 boys when they were all young, mm-hmm. I got a lot of, man, you've got your hands full, or are they triplets? Because people thought they were triplets because they were so close together. And I'm like, well, it's twins and then one more. Personally, for me, and I think in general for our family, we've mostly only received more positive comments,
that's
I feel
awesome.
Like, out in public.
Praise God, yeah.
So that's nice. And I can, like, I'm pretty confident I haven't had any of the crude comments, so I'm mm-hmm. grateful for that. But I know lots of people that it has happened to. So, right. And I've heard it, like, in front of, like, I've heard other people, like, have those comments thrown at them. And I'm like, oh, that would feel really icky, you know?
It's pretty gross. Don't do that.
Don't do it. Yeah. No. If you see a big family, say, you have a beautiful family, and that's it. That's
yeah,
what you need to say.
It has made it so I always make a special effort, especially if I'm by myself and it's clear I'm not in the same boat, of being like, praise God, what an awesome group of kids. Congratulations, guys. Keep it up. Something like that. Maybe not keep it up. That could be taken away.
Keep it up.
But
thanks anyway. For your stamp of approval, random stranger.
So going back to, I mean, we've hinted at it, but I want to say it directly, right? It is countercultural to be open to life. It's countercultural to have a lot of children. It's countercultural to have a life that I think is rightly ordered and is how humans have lived forever, right? But it became weird 70 years ago or something. And now we're supposed to pretend like this isn't how we're supposed to live, with lots of kids and pouring ourselves into other people and not living for ourselves. With that in mind, do you guys have any weird, and by weird, I mean uncommon, rules that you have in your house for your kids or for your family, things that your family follows, things that your family does that are sort of countercultural?
We try and make our kids, well, when I say we, it's mostly Julian. Like, I feel like Julian comes up with most of the rules because I'm way more of a softie than he is. But
and Julian is ontologically, by his nature, the head of your household.
Well, yeah, that's true. And we have boys, so... Like, when it comes to nurturing, I definitely will put my foot down. But when it comes to other things, because they're boys, I kind of give him a little bit more wiggle room to explore right. that disciplinary role. Mm-hmm. But we try making them earn things instead of being like, well, now you've lost this. Mm-hmm. Like if you fight with your brother, like now you can't play Switch today or mm-hmm. now you can't watch TV today. Instead, it's like when the day starts, it's like, now remember, if you're good, you get all your work done, you don't fight, then you can earn time on the Switch.
Right.
Something to that effect.
Cool.
So it,
like that.
It works fairly well. Most of the time.
I'll chime in with a weird one while I'm off camera again. We make them earn hot showers.
Oh my God.
Whoa. Okay. Flesh that out a little bit.
Yeah, sure. And I found what I'm doing while they're in the shower that it's cold that they, when they did not earn a hot shower is they, I'm echoing that this is going to make you a better child of God. This is going to make you a better son. I did this.
When are you physically standing outside the chair?
Yes. I am standing next
to make sure they don't turn the water warmer.
That's correct. Yeah. And they're not, what's the word I'm looking for here? They don't seem upset when they get out. They've even said, wow, it's actually warm. And now they're bragging about how long they can take their hot showers. And
how long they can stay in the cold shower.
Or how long they can stay in the cold shower. Yeah.
My son would just not bathe. He could just never bathe ever again, I think. And he'd be super happy.
Mine would
happy.
Do the same thing.
Yeah. Like, oh, I don't need a shower anyway.
Really? My really kids hard like showering, my thankfully. Thankfully.
My kid went, I've told the story on the air before, he lived in a tent for eight mm-hmm. months one time, and he didn't take a shower ever. He went to school, but he would not go inside to take a shower, so he would hose off. Like, he would suds up and hose off. And it wasn't like February, but it was like October. I mean, it was chilly. It would be 50 degrees outside.
What was his reason? Just cause.
I don't know. Cause it was neat. I was super supportive of it. Yeah.
I remember that actually.
It was cool.
I remember that phase. Our boys were like, he's what? He's living in a tent and it's not scary. I'm like.
Like he slept alone in the tent?
For 8 months.
Oh my gosh. 8 months.
Yeah. He would come inside for dinner and for the rosary at night. Other than that, he lived in a tent. He had a fire. He built a fire.
He didn't even come in to use the bathroom.
Oh, no. He still doesn't come in to use the bathroom. He goes outside to use the bathroom right now.
Our boys do, too.
Yeah. He walks past the bathroom to go pee off the deck.
Well, my kids have done that, too.
I'm constantly hollering at one of our boys. Like, he's trying to get out the front door. And I'm like, I can hear that you're, like, panicking at the front door. It's like, there's a bathroom down the hall. Like, come on.
I don't want to brag, but my girls can pee outside better than most guys can, too.
Oh, my gosh.
They're pros.
I probably could too. I've done a lot of camping.
Have you? Yeah. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I'm kind of all about it. I think it's neat.
I mean, I'm done.
And it goes back to once again, the physical safety versus the mm-hmm. spiritual safety mm-hmm. versus the moral formation, right? I'm big on that. Let them do the cool stuff. It's St. John Bosco who says, run, jump, scream, but do not sin. Mm-hmm. I think that's cool.
I think that's cool too. I think so, kind of segueing and more into your question. So one kind of family rule that we have is we're not letting our kids have phones yet.
Good. And like, thank you. Praise God.
I mean, in the school setting and even like with some of their cousins, mm-hmm. they have phones and they're their age and the boys are
as
like
10-year-olds they have phones?
Younger.
That's lame.
Younger oh, these
that's
days.
Pretty messed
younger
up.
Than 10.
Younger than 10. And I personally struggle with that, you know, just because of just you have to protect your kids. You mm-hmm. can't just assume that they're not gonna find anything. It's just I'm sorry, but at that point you're dumb.
Right.
I can't put it nicer than that. Right. But so we don't let our children have phones. And if they are going to use a phone, like I will be sitting right next to them. Like they want to look up, like if they're looking up birthday gifts or whatever, I'll let them look on Amazon.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
You know, like mm-hmm. what do you want to
we'll
look up?
We'll watch a video every now and then or something cool.
We like YouTube, you know, yep. we're, but
with when, me there,
with us there, you know, our kids are not allowed to watch YouTube without us in the room. Mm-hmm. And when commercials come on, generally speaking, we'll mute them. And if it's not appropriate, we're like, all right, look at the wall, look at the back wall. And they turn around because we're very intent on protecting them from things that they just don't need to see, things they don't need to be exposed to.
I've said this before, and I want to say it because, I don't know, I just think it's worth repeating. The worst thing you can possibly do for your child is give them unrestricted internet access. I promise. Completely. There's nothing worse. If you gave me the option of either I had to give my son, my 11-year-old son, a phone with unrestricted internet access, or once a day I had to punch him in the face, I'd punch him in the face. Oh, every time I would. It would be better for his form. That would be awful, right? Physically abusing my kid. But it's still better than what will happen to your child with unrestricted internet access. So, yeah, I'm pretty staunch on that one.
Honestly, like I think that a lot of the issues, especially for millennials, was mm-hmm. the beginning of the internet and it wasn't restricted, you know.
And like, our parents had no idea.
And
they were ignorant.
No idea. Mm-hmm. I mean, even now they probably have no idea. You know probably. What I mean? But like that was the beginning of dial up and all of that. And that's just when it started. And now you know, as an adult, it's like, no, my kid deserves better than that, frankly. And I'm not going to let him just go for it.
And I do think that there's some good, healthy pushback to that. I've been seeing, especially younger than us, parents and even teenagers saying, I will never have an iPad kid, right? Because you see it. You see those poor kids in the restaurant. And I get it. You want your kid to shut up so you can have a conversation. Too bad.
But that's their faces are like in the iPad the entire time.
Yeah, I understand the idea behind it.
Looking at their food when they're taking a bite.
Not worth it. It's not worth it.
Now, I will say, I'll totally hand Bluey on my phone to the three-year-old. Let's just be honest, because toddlers. But I understand and I agree about the tablet kids in restaurants. I was so judgy with that. But I mean, I think every family has to decide like how they're going to do it. But I definitely agree. Like less screen time is always better.
My kids gave up. Like themselves, they decided to give up movies for Lent.
Nice.
And so they haven't watched them. And it's actually been really good. Mm-hmm. Like we don't have any streaming thing. We don't have internet at the house, not because I'm super cool, but because we just haven't gotten around to hooking up internet at the house yet. Yeah. And it's been the best thing ever. They fight more. Mm-hmm. They go outside and they roll around and whatever, but it's been the best thing ever. But we still have family movie nights like once a week and it's the biggest production in the entire world. You know, we're watching.
Isn't it nice to feel good about watching something instead of just like, oh, just turn something else on.
So unfortunately, I think we're almost out of time for the radio. We might be able to continue the conversation briefly. Is that all right over on YouTube?
Yeah, I don't mind. Sure, why not?
One thing that I want to get into for closing that we didn't have time to on radio was if you could, first of all, pretend like your husband is not in the room or listening, going to listen to this. What would you say to the collective sort of fathers of the world, right? What should they know that you feel like they don't understand about motherhood?
I mean, I don't know. I kind of feel like I'm not, I mean, I'm sure there's a lot of things about me that other moms feel, but I feel like I'm very different in a lot of ways too. So for me, I just have really bad anxiety and I'm very emotional. Okay. So apparently Jade is too. So for me, I mean, Julian's gotten much better at this over time.
Good job, Julian.
So, yeah, good job, Julian. But it's kind of just like taking the time to, a lot of times I'll be in a panic about something. Like I do this very often where something will happen and I won't know how to deal with it. And I don't want to just yell at my kids. So I'll call Julian, and even if he's at work, and I'll just be in a panic and I'll just be talking really fast and telling him, I don't know what to do. And just be explaining a whole situation and probably speak for about 10 whole minutes before he can say anything. And he's gotten a lot better about just being calm and just reassuring me that I'm a good mom. And like, he says that a lot now. It wasn't something that he had done in the past, but now every time we have a conversation like that, he's like, calmly, he'll be like, first of all, you're a really good mom.
That's awesome.
Really helps me a lot, because in those moments, I definitely do not feel like a good mom.
Well, that goes back to like a love language thing with your spouse too, right? Is how can you affirm her? How can you reassure? I mean, I remember when Angie told me, and I still don't understand it, but I accept it as true, that she said, sometimes I just need to talk about the problem. I don't need to try to find solutions to the problem. Because all I ever want to do is, all right, this is happening. Let's come up with a plan. And we're going to do X and then we're going to do Y and this is going to happen. And she's like, no. I don't want to come up with a plan. I just need to sit here for a few minutes and talk about this and talk about how I'm feeling about this.
Let it out,
And I think that's cool. I mean, once again, that's the beauty, right? That's of our sort of male-female dichotomy and how we complement one another. But it's really hard for us to understand. Our brains are just wired differently, right? I will never fully understand you guys, and you'll never fully understand me, and that's okay.
That's true.
Yeah, that's the beauty of our God-given masculinity and femininity. All right, ladies, thanks so much for being here. Thanks, Jane. Thanks, Rachel. Producer Julian, this has been a blast. Ladies and gentlemen at home, thanks for watching. Thanks for listening. This has been Honest to God, a production of AM 1160 The Quest, Atlanta's Catholic Radio. Producer Julian.
Signing off.
Over and out.